Welcome back to the Disrupt Education Podcast, Allie Privet. What's up?
A cool, kind of New Year update that'll still be relevant is, and it has to do with what we're talking about today and around community and everything, is that I am in the throes of actually going through the process of being a skydiving instructor. Mm-hmm. And that's been a major goal of mine. And so it's kind of surreal to have it happen and be working on the equipment that, it's for somebody who wants to do their first jump, which is what you did with your static line, I could be a part of that in the 2024 season. And so the community of skydivers that I'm going through this with and everything, we're doing an extended course training over the winter because there isn't as much jumping, has just been, it's been the community that I didn't know I needed and kind of the next stage of working on something bigger than myself. And so I think that ties in really well with our last guest.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of been an exciting update to, for those who've been on the journey, which anyone listening to this podcast has.
Yeah. And I really like that. And just to kind of open up, I mean, we're going to be, talking about Pam Roy's book, but more over the theme of the book and parenting. But what I really like about that is you found your people, right? And it gives you a meaning to do something even when you can't do some things, right? Or some things are limited. I'm sure you can skydive in the winter, but there's limited times that you do it and such. So you're still kind of building forward. And I think as an educator or any educator, we're always trying to improve and to get people not apathetic about things, but really if you can't do it, figure out what you can do. So I kind of like that. That's a great opening. You're getting with your people. And now what can we do to continue working, even though there might be some blockers there? That's the essence, I think, of the entire book and actually kind of what we do, right? That's the disruption of education is, what can we do? How can we disrupt it in ways that we can move people to learn? Nice opening. There you go. That was the short answer. The long answer was right before that. So, but yeah, we are, we talked to Pam Roy last week. This is the book. If you're on the YouTube channel, if you're not, it's Parenting from the Passenger Seat, How Our Children Develop Capabilities, Connections, and Meaningful Lives. I had to ask you, so have you ever read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning? I think that's what it's, Man's Search for Meaning.
I have not, but listening to Pam definitely made me put that on my radar. And I feel like that has a huge influence on the book. And just the ideas of what I gathered is the human connection to people rather than a transactional society. And that was a huge takeaway from the podcast. What was your, have you read that book?
I have. It's been years ago. And as I'm a World War II kind of buff, so I read about the Holocaust and the fighting and all those things that happened around World War II. And I read it from a lens of history. I didn't read it from a lens, and I got to go back and read it from a lens of how, he understood how not, he kind of studied people who survived while he was in these horrible conditions. And, I'm not doing it justice, but basically the short of it is he found that people who were apathetic or who had apathy towards life would end up not living in these horrendous, and unimaginable conditions, let's be honest here. So, but he did figure out how to make meaning of his own life in such dire situations. And so now what Pam has kind of done with that is really kind of taking that into learning and how can you make learning meaningful to you in situations. And I think that's what her book is very much about, is as a parent, Don't shove kids into education. Let them be in it, but let them be themselves and really try to figure out what gives them meaning from a humanistic approach rather than everybody else giving the check marks and things like that. So, and Viktor Frankl has written a lot of different things. She's obviously piqued my interest to dive into it. But let's go into class. Do you remember, I'm sure you do, apathetic students, students who were just showed apathy every day?
Definitely. And even like going back and subbing, mm-hmm. There are classes and students that are 100% checked out. They want nothing. I don't know their personal situation from a subbing standpoint, but it seems like they want absolutely nothing to do with being in that particular class. Mm-hmm. Kids can obviously have different personalities from class period to class period, 100%. As I have found.
Yep.
I can remember this one student that's just coming to mind. Never talked in my class, was like the super shy student. Mm-hmm. And I go to the fall play that year, had no idea they were like the lead in it. And they're like, it was a musical and they're like singing and so animated. And I remember coming back the next day and I'm like, are you the same person? Like, do you have an identical twin? And so, but what lit them up was the stage, was mm-hmm. not science. It was not my class. And that was fine. Like they did their work. They weren't, it came across maybe more apathetic, but it just wasn't, that's not where their mind space was. And right. So I think it's okay in the system that some kids have to navigate because parents maybe aren't as involved and they don't have any idea of what else could be out there. Right. So they just sign their kid up to go to the local public school because it's where they live and they don't know about charter or private or that's not an option for them schedule wise, financial wise. And, a kid can still navigate and find their people in a system that can be transactional and kind of, do okay on just the subjects that don't light them up. I think that's okay. That might be unpopular mm-hmm. because, the expectation from a lot of people and parents and society is that you need to do well in everything. You need to love all of the topics. And so to be apathetic maybe towards some of it because it's not what lights you up, I don't think that's the worst thing ever. It's like they shove the core four down people's throats and mm-hmm. and all these other topics that are requirements for graduation, which is a piece of paper that says you completed the bare minimum, but that doesn't really tell the story.
Right.
And that's not, I like that Pam was so much for advocating on external experiences, jobs, volunteering mm-hmm. interests that had nothing to do with school. And then I don't know if she said this explicitly, but I'm for it, like less homework and or a pushback on it so that school time is school time and outside yep. of school time can be for family, community, and what else. If we have to have the school and it needs to be this transactional system, then okay, have it just be in those school hours and mm-hmm. and then the rest is for other stuff, especially at the high school level, because yeah. that's when what we're really talking about in terms of getting kids to look at what's next besides, again, just college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree like 100%. I've read a lot of people's like tweets and people commenting about education. And I think one of the things that sticks with me is why do we have like students who are at a job for 35 to 40 hours a week, and then we shove another 20 hours of work on them? We wouldn't like that. We wouldn't take that job. And then we say, well, why aren't you getting any sleep? Or why are you checking out? Or why, you know, are you on your phone or these types of things? I mean, who wants to work 70 hours a week and then, you know, kind of do that for 4 years? Like, no way, right? Like, so it's very interesting what I liked Pam saying as well. And I think my wife and I were kind of advocates of this, is kind of letting our students or our students, our kids, like, you know, find if they want to be a part of something, a sport or play or something like that, but not like pushing them. You know, sometimes we question ourselves, did we not push enough? Did you push too much? And I think every parent goes through that. But I like what Pam's saying here, is just don't schedule every minute of their day, right? Let them go experience the world and, you know, kind of understand it from that. And I've known a lot of parents, like, there's helicopter parents. Like, if your kid is getting like a B minus, they're on you. They're texting you, the teacher. They're like, you have to let that go. And I think part of that is just what you said, this college pathway. You know, I had an actual previous teacher that I knew who was a parent of a kid, and the kid was getting a B plus, and I was the department chair at the time, and she yelled at me. She was like, why is my kid not getting an A? And this woman was in education, right? And I'm like, it's okay. You know, I mean, can you talk to the teacher first and that kind of thing? And, you know, it come to find out the B plus was kind of gift. But like, the parent was so like adamant, like, this is going to ruin scholarships and all this stuff. And it's like, whoa, you know, what's going on? You know, like, where's the kid stand in this? You know, like, where, who is he, you know? And I kind of like that, because that stresses out the kid as well, right? You know, if you go to a teacher, can you imagine, like, if your parents went to a teacher and yelled at them, and then you're sitting in class and it's, you know, for another 5-8 weeks, that's got to be embarrassing, even though they may be like, yeah, I won, you don't mess with my family. But inside, I mean, let's be honest, that kid is like, crap, you know, like, I gotta sit through this. And, you know, are they really questioning themselves? Are they getting the real feedback? So, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the book is actually laid out as kind of a painting, and you can take what you want from it. But again, I really like the other part, is accountability, right? And we'll do something about accountability a little later, but she did mention a few times, and I didn't ask her too much, but, you know, if a kid isn't accountable for their actions, meaning that I'm, as a parent, I'm taking control of every action, then the kid's never going to learn. And then they're going to be depressed. They're going to feel anxious, because when they do have to become accountable after school, in school or whatever, I think that has a major play on kids' psyche, you know, how they feel and think.
So there's like these extremes, right? You can have apathetic students with apathetic parents. You can have apathetic students with very involved parents. You can have high achieving students with not involved parents, and you can have high achieving students with very, very helicoptery parents, who anything other than an A plus is not acceptable.
Right.
And so for those listening, I'm gonna imagine the majority of those listening aren't on the extremes.
Right.
And however, for those of you listening, you likely know of a parent, potentially a student, who would benefit from listening to Pam's perspective and or her book. And so think about people in your everyday life, your friend circle, that do talk about college as the only option, or do talk about school being like this very high standard that there's only, you know, we have to fill our children's day and time and schedule all these things. And then here's an opportunity to be like, hey, I was listening to something that kind of sparked a different way to do education, think about education, and think about parenting. And this may be an easy in for someone to kind of think about education differently and think about parenting differently. That is a pretty easy access. So I would just challenge our listeners to really consider getting Pam's book, Parenting from the Passenger Seat. for yourself or for a friend, a gift, just because gift, not because, you know, it's someone's birthday or holiday or something, but just because you're like, I think this could be helpful. Mm-hmm. And especially because it's related to like all of the systems in your life, right? Yeah. So our society is so much based on systems. In fact, like getting out of a system. And then when I was initially leaving school, I was so focused on building business systems.
Yeah.
And right. Like to be an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, like for me, I actually went the route of trying to remove systems from my life and living in a much more relationally based life. And so Pam and I really connected on kind of that aspect of life and just personally, because it's so easy to get caught up in numbers, grades, letters, on a piece of paper and not the people in front of you in mm-hmm. education, whether you're in the doctor's office, you're going to the store. I mean, think about all the metrics your phone is getting, you know, off of you right now. And it's just caring about the numbers. It doesn't want to get to know you. I mean, it only wants to get to know you to sell you something.
What are you talking about? I'm going to have a conversation with this guy right here. Wait.
it's finding communities and, mm-hmm. you know, and your role within the community, and that you actually need to find the community first to then realize where you fit, right? Like mm-hmm. going back to me being in the skydiving community, my teaching background lends itself really, really good to being one of the main instructors at our drop zone. Mm-hmm. And so I'm already a coach and getting to help students in that way, but it is a natural fit. And it was me being like, I want to redo the student program. I mm-hmm. want to create better learning materials. I want to think through why we're doing things in this order. No one had touched that stuff. Literally, the old test was from like the 90s. It got updated, right? And like, and that was like by me being in that community and mm-hmm. literally spending pretty much every weekend that I wasn't traveling for the last year and a half there to kind of find that role. It wasn't like I hopped in, started skydiving, got my license and was like, oh, yep, now I'm the lead instructor.
Right.
But it was developing relationships with people. And then mm-hmm. from there, it just made sense to fill that role. And school just tries to do it the opposite. Like, you know, oh, well, you're good at this, so this is what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
Is that even like, really, I mean, you can be good at something and it's not really like a good fit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I love that about Pam's book. And, mm-hmm. and if you're feeling like you're in a world of systems and you're not really connecting to anybody in your job, in education, like in your relationships, this could be a really great resource for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you don't really know what is really happening in high schools, and schools in general, but Pam really lays it out, and to some people it could be shocking. It could be like, what? Like there are kids in there like on their phones all day not doing anything. There are kids who are like very depressed. What? Like if you don't know this, and by all means, anybody who's not active in their community schools all the time, or maybe they you know, just, you know, send their kids to schools or whatever. Pam really lays this out. And actually, I'll be honest, like even as a teacher, it's hard to read the first third of this book because it's like, darn it. Like, yes, because we want to change it. We're change makers. It's like when I read that, I see the 1990s material you see in skydiving now, right? It's like, we got to change that. Now that's a manual. This is an entire system, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, but what we can do is really kind of acknowledge I get anxiety when I see things that I can improve that I put on my shoulder. And a lot of teachers do this, by the way. And this is why teacher burnout is happening, because we put a lot of this on our shoulders, and there are things we just can't do, right? Mm-hmm. But What she does, though, is she lays it out in a great way as a parent coming into the system and really seeing it. And I, you know, I've talked to one of her daughters just on a casual conversation on a Zoom call as we were Pam and I were chatting. And it's really cool. She does talk about how her kids go in three different like areas. They go three different paths and they're all successful. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of like, it's going to be okay, right? If we just let our kids grow into this, you know? And again, like as a parent myself, you're always questioning. You're like, am I doing it? Even as a teacher, did I do this semester right? Did I, you know, because in loco parentis, right? Like, were these kids parents for the majority of like a semester or a year? And you're second guessing. And we forget to just have the conversation, the human connection with the people in the classroom or in the learning community. So, I mean, you know, and I think I've said it before, I think it, on our, the last podcast of 23, like really kind of going into 24, this is something as an educator, like I can still learn, you know, even from, you know, parenting from the passenger seat. Well, you can teach from the passenger seat, right? You can really like, all right, I'm going to give this to you. And, you know, if you crash the car, we'll fix it and we'll figure it out what went wrong. You know, and it really does like these connections. Kids, and I think I said this before on one of the lives, like kids don't take classes because they ultimately love a subject. I mean, maybe they like a subject, but kids will stay in a subject area, science, math, business, what have you, because they like the people in it. And that starts with us as educators. People will stay jumping out of airplanes because of Allie, not because of it's just, you know, because if they're not trained right and they're terrified for the first two or three times, they're not going to come back, right? Like thinking about those things. So I like that thought process of what, you know, Pam it talks about, but it just stems into, you know, what's happening in our systems. And I like that she even brought up like the health system and everything, right? It is like kids, I mean, as a business teacher, kids need to see this in general, like wherever you're going to go, there's going to be a business out there to really kind of make those meaningful connections and breaking them out. And half the time, what I usually do in classes now is really teach the kids to be vulnerable and say it's okay to be vulnerable in front of other people. And the more vulnerable you are with your group and then outside of that group, the more you're going to learn. And that's opposite of I'm getting an A, you're getting a B, so I'm ranked higher than you in a class, right?
The biggest change for me in the last 3 to 4 years of being full-time in the classroom was this shift was like, I don't care what grade you get. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I have to record grades. It's a requirement of my job, but I don't care to look at them. I want to know what you've learned and what you're taking away so much more than all of this. And it's like, and really being present with students. I mean, the pandemic, of course, made us all reevaluate, you know, how important in-person connection was. And mm-hmm. for teachers that was taken away for, you know, varies how long, but that was a big reset to be like, how can, it was a huge opportunity of like, how can we as a system focus more on connection? Mm-hmm. Because you can have all the technology in the world and you can put everything online, but nothing replaces in real time, mm-hmm. personal learning experiences. And that is really the heart of what I took away from Pam. And that's where you can move the needle forward. So, you know, we have all of these classes and courses, and to your point, it matters so much more the teacher and how they're relating to the students than the subject matter often. And it's critical for building community to have extended relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So how can I mean, the what the thing I kept thinking about when Pam was talking is like we have all of these start stops with relationships in the education system. Like you have this person for first period, or you have your third grade teacher for the school year, but then you get a new one in fourth grade, or you get another one after every 50 minutes in a school day. And yes, you may have them for a school year, and that community that you built as a class is then gone. And I go back to this one house, one room schoolhouse, and you've got a community there. And yes, people are on different pages, different learning experiences. And it is more like today's homeschool model, where you could have kids of varying ages collaborating and working. But think of the roles and what you could focus on and what you could learn your how where you fit inside of that if we aren't constantly breaking and remaking these arbitrary delineations and putting kids in certain aspects because of their age. And, you know, the other thing with that I really took away from Pam that's related is that it's almost too easy. School, like in some ways, like there's everything can be served on a platter, and like you can just check the box. And so there's no room for personal growth and development. And as an adult, it's like such a big thing to get coaching and like develop personally. But you can't, you're just literally spending your days memorizing facts and figures. And it's like, where is there space in some school systems for the people to develop as humans? And it really gave me a different perspective on how transactional the school system can be, and truly the opportunity for it to reinvent itself and a human connection point. And that there are lots of different ways that could be done. So if you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I can see how this could really change a school system. You're right. And more of these types of conversations need to be had.
Yeah, I think that along with that, the where a student is outside of school, whether they're working with a group of students in a job, or they're on a team, of course, or, you know, they're in a play, or, you know, they're in a chess club or whatever it is. And then they find their group of people. You know, that's what Derek Griffin did, right? Like, so basically he and Dan Bevan and a couple of others kind of hung out together, very different students, didn't always get the same class. Kelvin Evans was another one. And they would create. They would have the conversations. And I think school systems in general could accompany or maybe build those relations, places for students to have those kind of positive relationships. Because now the, you know, what happens is you get the 20 group of 20 kids that go into the bathroom and vape or do whatever at the same time. And that's their pack, right? And now all I'm looking for is a way, now an opportunity to take that pack that is just burnout, angry, whatever, anxious, all these things that the system probably created, and then say, what if, right? So we can throw, you know, a little Andy Pass, imagine, and then, you know, throw the, hey, everybody in here, what if we gave you time to do something you all want to do? Because we know you don't want to just hang out and vape in the bathroom, right? What if we built something, an area or whatever, to where you have these? And I think that's where community comes in. I think that's what Pam's talking about. Like, you know, give students some real meat on the bone, problem solution sets. It even goes back to Don Wetrick talking about that. But I think those are those opportunities that you're talking about. Will it take effort? Will it take, yes. Will there be still, you know, students with apathy? Yeah, there will be, but I think it will improve, and it gives you a place to start. But even as a parent, like, again, and as an educator, you know, talk to the student about themselves, right? And we miss it all the time. I miss it as educator. I mean, it's, we're set up to fail. I mean, there's no way 150 students, I can do that in a semester. I mean, I can do it, but there's no way I can do it effectively, I should say, right? And some students that are just that are doing it, that are not apathetic, sometimes get the short end of the stick because they're like, okay, so-and-so, I know you're good. Let me know if you need anything. But then the kids who need a little bit more support or that you're working with. So you have to do that balance. And also as a parent, right? Because you're gonna have two different, I mean, my kids are both very different. They look at school, they look at the system differently. And you kind of have to bounce back and forth and try to figure out, you know, who's getting what. And again, I'm just, you know, going to go back to, you know, you find meaning in something and then you start there. But the only way people can find meaning in something is to be alone with their thoughts and then have conversations with people in a humanistic sense. I mean, you can't just force a chemistry test or a let's say a calculus test, and then a kid may do good on it. And then you're like, you're going to be an engineer, right? That doesn't make sense. I mean, yeah, they could be, but what do they really want? How do they want to change the world? And I think Pam brought that up. So, yeah.
And as a final thought here on this recap, Pam also illuminated the fact that, you know, and she didn't necessarily word it this way, but it was said that there's a lot put on teachers to solve all of these problems with students. And I will say there's a lot on parents, whether it's external or internal, that they feel like they have to do everything to kind of like, you know, solve everything for their kid. And it's like, we, because everything is so separate, right? Like there isn't this even network and community in the school or connect a community to the school for the most part. It's all truncated. Like all these systems are separate and that's how they've been designed. But
probably
that it puts too much on any one person. So like the best thing you can do is find community, a community of moms or a community of dads or a community of parents in the community or a group of teachers, like book club. She said one of the biggest things that people do when they get together with her is book club. And like, there is power of being in real time with other like-minded individuals, but have different strengths, have different backgrounds where you can collaborate. And so like, that needs to be more. It needs to be more in schools. It needs to be more in the communities. And like this isolation, that's not what we were designed for. And we weren't designed to hop from one place to another and have everything served on a silver platter. Like maybe it's easier and in some ways, but the loss, I think, is becoming greater than the efficiency piece of basically a microwave society. You know, the lack of delayed gratification, and we want to live in this instant everything is going to have really long-term effects that are going to ripple throughout all parts of society. And Pam gets at that with her book. And so, you know, we talk about, and we've wrestled with over time on this podcast, do you go top down or do you go from the bottom up? And we continually go back to the strength and power of the local community. And that is going to be increasingly more and more important as we become more technologically advanced and have the easier quote unquote route to do everything solo and have everything DoorDashed and delivered, but it's not going to be the route that builds like true lifelong meaning and development and community. And like your wake up call sign is blinking right now from listening to Pam Roy, read her book, listen to this podcast, share it with a friend, because this is the kind of episodes that we are rocking with in 2024. And I'm just so excited to kind of get into just this first month of 2024 and already feeling like, wow, these are eye-opening topics. And this is such needed conversations. to be had.
Yeah. And along with that, talking a little bit about technology, we've got a guest coming up soon that will be talking about distraction versus traction. The old marshmallow test, basically trying to get dopamine quick off of technology versus using it. So there's a lot of, I mean, we're coming out swinging in 24 with some great people. If you haven't heard the episode before this one, it was with Pam Roy, parenting from a very different perspective. Obviously, the book is called Parenting from the Passenger Seat. It is available in all places you buy books and such. It's a great read if you're a parent just kind of like nervous about school, if your kids are transitioning from middle to elementary to middle, or middle to high school, or even high school to college. It's a great book to kind of give you just a landscape, right? She said it wasn't a how-to book, and I don't think it's a how-to book, but I think it will give you some ideas on how you specifically may be able to parent from a passenger seat. So here we go, 2024. We're moving right along into the year. For Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time on the Disrupt Education Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.